And what a blessing it is to know that this is what's going to happen. Christ is coming again, and he's going to take his own home with him that's living on the earth. Those that have died in Christ will be raised, and they will beat us if we're living yet. And we will meet them in the air, and we'll be forever with the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing to remember and to know that this is what's happening to the Christians in the world today, even though we may think we have it hard in the life today. The scripture lesson for today, I'm using the epistle lesson. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, or in some Bibles it may say diligence. And for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. Prayer is a very important thing in the life of a Christian. We see Paul is talking to the Christians here, and he is talking to those that have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And he's telling us, I would that you would pray for all people. And in the Bible, when they use all men, they mean all people. And we see this more and more as we read and study the Holy Scriptures. But Paul wants us to make supplications, to be praising Christ for what he has done for us, and then to come on our knee, bended knee, or kneeling, or bowing, or whatever, however we want to pray, to God the Father Almighty, making intercession for those in authority and those that don't have Christ. We want to remember to bring them before the Lord too, so that the Spirit can convict them and make them realize they must have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, or they will in no way get into heaven, and they can in no way enjoy the peace that only God gives us as we live our Christian life here on earth. And we find that Paul has told us too, that, you know, the things on earth, even though we may suffer them, will only be for a short time. And the reward we get for having Christ as our personal Savior is so much greater that the suffering we do here on earth is only for a short time and should not be remembered and take precedence over everything. And then we can remember too that as we pray for our kings and as those in authority, how many of us do that? We not only pray for those leaders of our land, but for our homes and for ourselves, that as we pray, we say, Lord, help me to not think of myself more highly than I ought to think, not to think of myself as more important than I ought to think, but also to pray that our attitudes towards one another will be to serve Christ and Christ alone, and that his will be done, that our emotions will be held in check and not running wild to the point where they would be controlling us, and that we would not show the Christian life of how God wants us to live day by day. You know, in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you pray, enter your closet. And when you pray, and you pray in the closet in secret, God will reward you openly. And in openly rewarding you, you can take and look at many people and you'll say, you know, they seem so peaceful even though they have many trials and temptations going on around them. How is it? And it's because they have given their whole life over to Christ and they're letting Jesus rule in their life. They're letting Jesus have control of everything they do and control of themselves emotionally or attitude-wise, as well as how they conduct themselves in business and how they conduct themselves at work or at play, in which they say, I want to glorify Christ and Christ alone, because he is the one that was sent by God into the world to save me, a sinful sinner that was going to hell, but through his salvation on the cross, and because I believe and accept this, I have him as my personal Lord, and he has forgiven me of all my sins, and he has made me his own child, and he therefore gives me the peace which passes all understanding, and that I may not even understand at all, but that I know that he is rewarding me openly because I have prayed to him in secret and I have asked him to work through me to show his glory and his honor to all people, and that I get none of it because I don't deserve it, but because I want to be his servant and I want him to work through me for those around about me. And then I can keep the leaders of my land in prayer, I can keep those in authority in prayer and uphold them in prayer before God. And you know, even David in the Psalm 139, he says, you know, I pray for my leaders and I pray for these people, yet, Lord, I hate the enemies of you with a perfect hatred of sin, because sin is running them and ruling them, and they are working in sin, and I hate this sin just like you do, Lord. And help me to be able to live in such a way that they would see that what they are doing is wrong and that they would turn their hearts and lives over to you. And so we see that Paul is praying for this for us just as well. And we see in Psalm 66, verses 18 and 19, David puts it this way. In our personal requirements, if you want to call it that, or our personal examples of how we should live for Christ. And when we pray, David says, if I regard iniquity or offenses in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. Remember, we see many people praying and they're saying words, and yet within their own mind and within their own life, they have animosity against someone, or they're thinking evil against someone, and they want to know why God doesn't answer their prayer. It's because they have iniquity or sin in their heart, and they have not brought this sin to Christ, and they have not taken and dealt with it the way God has told them to do it so very, very many times. And we can see it in all of our own lives, and we have a tendency of saying, why can't I have this or that? You know, Christ tells us, you know, pray and ask, and I will give it to you if you use it to glorify me and use it in my will and in my way. And as we pray, if we pray, Lord, do it in your will and your way, we will find many of our blessings will come upon these people. Many of our prayers will be answered. I remember some years ago when I had growth on my vocal cords, and I've said this before. It was about 1989, and the doctor looked at it, and he asked me if I smoked, and I said I had quit in 1960 or 61. And he says, if you smoked, I'd have told you to go home and get your affairs in order. And he took these growths off, and about 3 months later, I wasn't feeling well, and I went back in there, and he said, you have some more? And they asked me to do a Bible study, and I said, I'll try it. I was using about four times as much air to breathe and just to stay alive than what normal. And so I had told the Bible study group, I says, I'm going to have a Bible study, but I may run out of air, and if I do, we'll have to cut it short. And there was two women there. One was had been a missionary. One was a school teacher, and she had lupus herself. And they said, we're going to have special prayer for you. And the day before I went in for my pre-op physical, and I says, you know, my throat feels different. Can I see the doctor? And they said, yes. So I went in there, and the doctor looked, and he just went, And I said, what do you see? And he wouldn't tell me. He went and got another specialist, and he looked. He says, I want you to tell me what you see. And that second specialist looked two times, and he says, what am I supposed to see? And he says, here's his x-rays, and on the x-rays you could see the growths on my vocal cords, and you could see where they'd have to be taken out. And he had told me, he'd says, you know, when we take these out, we can hurt your vocal cords, so you can't speak well. And the second surgeon that came in there, specialist, he looked and he says, all I see is a couple red spots where they are supposed to be according to the x-rays. And I told him, I says, God healed me. These women's prayers, along with the prayers of others, healed my vocal cords. And I looked at it and I says, you know, I came home. And when I told my wife about it, we says, it's because God has done this to use you. Someplace along the line, he's got plans for you. Do not think it's something great on your own part. But we thank God for it, and he has used me, I feel, many times since then. And this is why I can be here today, telling you of the love of Christ and telling you how the prayers of the faithful Christian can be answered, because God will use those prayers to uplift those that need it. And he will uplift those that come to him in sincerity and in grace. He will take care of our emotions and our attitudes, and he will make us want to love one another in Christ and in the love of God, even though we may feel many times that people are against us. And then you see, as David goes on in the Psalm 66, he says, but certainly God has heard me, and he has attended to the voice of my prayer. And then we go on many times, we can look at different portions of Scripture, and we can see how God answered prayer for the disciples and for the people around him. We think of Peter when he was put in prison, when they killed James, they put Peter in prison, and because it was the Passover, they were going to wait till the Passover and kill him too, because they knew the Jews wanted to get rid of the Christians. And the angel came and took Peter out of jail and took him out into the street and says, be gone. And Peter, when he realized it, he went to the house where the disciples were praying. And he knocked on the door, and Rhoda comes and answers the gate, and she runs in, leaves him standing there, and she says, Peter's out at the gate. And they says, you're goofy. We're praying for him. He's in prison. And she says, no, he's out there. Finally, they go out and look, and they see Peter, and they're surprised. How did you get here? And Peter tells them what happened and how the angel came and took him out of prison, and how he took and how that angel saved him from the death of the Romans and the Jews at that time. And you know, he left then and went into hiding, I suppose, for a while until things cooled down a little bit. But do you think those disciples were praying and yet they didn't believe? The answer came and they didn't believe. Are we that way so many times? We pray and we don't wait for the answer. We want it to work in our own way, in our own time, and we want to do it right away. In 1 John 5:14, it tells us this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, it will be done. And how many times even I look back in my own life and I'll say, you know, Lord God, I have seen you answer my prayer so many, many times, even in the last year or 2 years or 3 years. And I can give many instances in some of these cases where God has answered my prayer, not to glorify me, but to glorify him, because I want him to have all the glory. I want him to have all the credit, because he can only use us as we are willing to be used by him. Then we see some of the answers for not having an answer to prayer. And of course, the first one is sin. And we see that because we let sin into our lives, God cannot work in our lives, because we will hold grudges or thoughts, evil thoughts against those around us. And we say, Lord, help me to get rid of these thoughts. Help me to forgive those that have done wrong to me. And help me to live for you in such a way that you can work through me and people will see you, whether I'm at my work, whether I'm buying something, whether I'm at home, that they will see your love for you in me and that they will glorify you. Then we see, too, where we get selfish and we have our pride come up on us and we let these things come and they take over us. And we take and we say, well, why can't I have this? I knew a man that was in the ministry some years ago, and he says, there is no reason why I can't have 2 snowmobiles for my children, and why I can't have a boat, and why I can't have this and that. And I told the man, I says, I want you to stop and think. And I told him, I says, you know, I am some years older than you, and my family is pretty well grown up and on their own. But I will tell you, you have to make a choice. Either you follow God and do his will, or you follow the world and you try and gather all these things in for yourself. And he says, well, I want both. You can't have both. You either live for the Lord or you live for yourself. And the man chose to live for himself at that time. He claims to have come back to the Lord. Now, I talked to him not so many while back, and he says he's walking with the Lord, and he says, you know, all these things don't matter. They're only temporary. Are we setting our life up on a temporary basis that we want to be pleased in this life instead of serving our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we wanting to be pleased so that we please ourselves and ourselves only? You know, if we take a look and we see that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth, are we willing to learn? We're never too old to be in school of learning the will of God and to do his will and to see what he has to say to us. When we pray for our leaders, do we pray for ourselves that God take all of me, all of what I am, and use it to your glory? Whether it's emotions or attitude, or whether it's selfishness or pride, take it away from me if this is what it is, and help me to live for you, that you can be seen through me and through what I am doing, to glorify you, and that you get all the glory and the honor. And we see that so very, very plainly. And if we were to go back into our Old Testament lesson that we read a little bit here, we see starting in about verse 6, it says, for the foolish person will speak foolishness. They haven't given their heart to the Lord, and they want only the things for themselves. The veil of truth is blinding them, and they will not open up their lives and say, Christ, come in and be my Lord and Savior. Nor the miser said to be bountiful, or the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fall. And the schemes of the schemer are evil. He devises wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words. Even the needy speaks justice when the needy speaks justice. But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. You see, what's being said here in Isaiah is that the one who has Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will be blessed, will have a reward of enter into my rest, where there is no sorrow, no pain, and all of these things will be gone because we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We see in the gospel text where the woman gave her all to the Lord. She gave everything she had, everything between her and starvation. She gave it to the Lord because she loved him. And she says, Lord God, be with me. And we can say the same thing today. Lord, be with me. Help me to give you my all. Help me that I will be the man or woman or child that you can work through to bring other people into your kingdom, and that my life will be an example for those that see me, that they will know you are living in my heart and in my life, that I have that peace which passes all understanding, and that I have that peace that only you can give because I trust in you above all things, that you are the mediator between me and God. You were sent here by God the Father. You died on Calvary's cross. And by dying on Calvary's cross and being buried and rising again the third day, you have taken away my sin. And you have made me an heir with you to sit on the throne beside God. And you said that you could sit on my throne with me. And this, Lord Jesus, I pray, use me as your servant to do your will in all things. And help me, O God, that Satan will not attack me and that I would overcome any evil desires that might be brought before me. Can we pray that? We should give our all to Christ Jesus because he gave his all for us. We know there's one God and one mediator, and that's Christ Jesus. Let's live for him day by day and do his will. And at this Thanksgiving time, that we would also be able to know that we are not only thankful for what we have, but we are thankful for what he did for us, and that he gave himself for us without reservation. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd be with each one of us now. Keep us, help us in your care, and help us to live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Then let us turn to 148. Yes. 485. Okay, 485.